Let us turn in our Bibles to the book of Galatians, chapter 5, and we'll read from verse 22 forward. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, this is on page 1793, if you're using the Chapel Bible. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. I'll stop there. Also, I'd like to turn to Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah, chapter 42. The prophet Isaiah is the first major prophet in our Old Testament, and this will be on page 1123 in the Chapel Bible. Isaiah, chapter 42, beginning with verse 1. Behold my servant whom I uphold, my elect one, in whom my soul delights. I've put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the Gentiles. He will not cry out, nor raise his voice, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and smoking flax he will not quench. He will bring forth justice for truth. He will not fail, nor be discouraged, till he has established justice in the earth, and the coastlines shall wait for his law. We'll stop there. We've been going through the different words that describe the fruit, the one fruit of the Spirit, in Galatians 5, and we've covered the first four. Last time we looked at long-suffering. Some words that are similar are patience and endurance, and we considered the Lord Jesus and how he displayed that clear attribute in his own life. We looked at a few examples in John's Gospel where he would be speaking this heavenly language and no one understood what he was saying. His own followers were completely baffled by what he meant. And yet he patiently continued teaching them. He showed much patience in his relationship with those that were following him. And we apply this, of course, to ourselves. An attribute like long-suffering. You know, there's a reason in English we use that expression, long suffering, because it's through sufferings, it's through trials that we have the result of patience. And so long suffering is a wonderful word to describe this attribute that we all need to display. And we have looked at these fruit of the Spirit, knowing that these are really the characteristics of the Lord Jesus that are brought out in us by the Spirit of God to display Christ to those around us. And we often read those verses in Romans 8, verse 28 and 29. It is for this reason that all things work together for good. Even bad things work together for good. Why? Because they are going to make us conform to the image of God's dear Son, the Lord Jesus. That is why they work out for good. Even the bad things that happen to us, because they conform us. And we become more Christ-like as a result. I'd like to look now at the fifth word in this list that we're given in Galatians 5:22. And that word is kindness. Now, not all translations translate this fifth word with the word kindness. Some use other words, and some use, for example, the word gentleness. Now, we will look at the word gentleness. It's actually later in the list. It's the second to last word in the New King James Version of the translation of this. There is quite a similarity between those two words, by the way, kindness and gentleness. In fact, if we think about these nine words, kindness is the center one, and there's three words in particular besides kindness that kind of support that word. And one is love, the first word, and then there's goodness and gentleness. Those three other words really are, they kind of harmonize and help us understand what this word kindness really means. We've read in Isaiah, it is a portion of Scripture that is speaking about the Lord Jesus. He's the servant. Behold my servant. This is one of those passages in this beautiful prophet that describes the Lord Jesus as the servant. And in this case, he is described as the one who would not break a bruised reed. He would not quench a flickering flame. How else could you describe kindness? You know, most of us, if we saw a bruised reed, you know, that tender little plant, we'd say, well, it's in the way, just break it off. But he would not break a bruised reed. He would not take that little glimmer of light in that flame trying to continue. He would not snuff it out. He would give it more air and help it come aflame and show forth the glory of God in its display of what it was there for. And these examples in nature are exactly how the Lord treated us and treats us, with kindness. This word kindness can also be described in the Old Testament in particular as loving kindness. Oh, his loving kindness, oh, how great, right? We so often sing that song. Oh, his loving kindness, oh, how great. This prophet Isaiah, that portion we read, is actually quoted in the New Testament. I'd like to look at that in Matthew's Gospel, Matthew chapter 12, to get a better understanding of kindness in the Lord's life. We may think we know what it means, and perhaps we do, but often words, especially abstract words, are difficult to define. So in the scriptures, we're given examples so we can kind of sense, well, that's kindness. I understand it because I see an example of it. So in Matthew chapter 12, it's on page 1508. We're going to read verse 15 onward. But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew from there, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all. Capture that. He healed them all. Yet he warned them not to make him known, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, Behold my servant, whom I have chosen, my beloved in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he will declare justice to the Gentiles. He will not quarrel nor cry out, nor will anyone hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and smoking flax he will not quench, till he sends forth justice to victory, and in his name Gentiles will trust. In the middle of this gospel, this quotation is given to us, and it's in the context of the Lord's work here on earth as he went about doing good, and in particular, how he would heal people. This chapter in this gospel is a crossroad in the gospel, because it is at this moment when the religious leaders who are not willing to trust and believe in the Lord Jesus, not willing to acknowledge that he is God's servant, that he's the one that was sent, the one whom the Spirit of God descended upon at his baptism, who was the anointed one. They will not accept him. And it's in this chapter they attribute his divine display of power in his healing miracles to Satan. They say he heals these people by the power of the kingdom of darkness, Beelzebub. That's what they say of the Lord Jesus in verse 24. This fellow does not cast out demons except by Beelzebub, the ruler of the demons. What an accusation. What blasphemy. And it's in this chapter where the transition takes place. The Lord Jesus no longer limits himself to the house of Israel, to the children of Israel, but he goes beyond that. He begins speaking parables. Do you know the reason he began speaking parables? So that in seeing they could not see, and hearing they could not hear. Their understanding was confused. He would tell a parable of the sower and the seed, and they would think he's telling a story about agriculture. They could not understand he was speaking about the word of God, and that he was the sower, and that there's going to be some that falls on different types of ground. There is a battle for that seed. There's a battle for your soul, and only the Lord Jesus could produce that life. Some 30-fold, some 60-fold, some 100-fold. And all they heard was a story about agriculture. He would tell many other stories. These parables were actually a judgment against them. And so he would turn, and now he was going to invite the Gentiles in. And that's this quote. Look at the quote. How many times the word Gentiles used in verse 18, verse 21. He's inviting the whole world in. He's not just here for a nation. He's here for all nations. He's not here for just one people group. He's here for all people groups. And his kindness now is going to be displayed to all. What was he doing in this chapter? He was healing the sick. He was casting out the demons. He was giving sight to the blind. He was giving hearing to those that couldn't hear. All good things. And he was accused falsely by those around him. of doing good by the power of evil. There are many, many examples of the Lord's kindness in the Gospels. I'd just like to look at a few and then transition to what it means for you and me to be kind, to show kindness. So we'll look at three examples. I'd like to look at the time when the disciples were with the Lord Jesus and a lot of children came up to him. And that's found in Matthew 19. And we find that's on page 1522 in the Chapel Bible. Matthew 19, verse 1. And it came to pass when Jesus had finished these sayings that he departed from Galilee and came to the region of Judea beyond the Jordan. And a great multitudes followed him, and he healed them there. The Pharisees also came to him, testing him, saying to him, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for just any reason?" And he goes into this subject with them. And then later, we see how he tells his disciples, "Do not keep the little ones from me." It's verse 13. Then little children were brought to him, that he might put his hands on them and pray. But the disciples rebuked them. Imagine. But Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." And he laid his hands on them and departed from there. Just in a few verses, we see a wonderful example. We have the Pharisees who rejected the Lord, constantly challenging him with questions. And then we see these little children with such trust, such innocence, coming up to the Lord Jesus. He was approachable. They loved to be around him. And they would walk up to him, and the other disciples thought they were bothering him. Well, the Lord can never be bothered. We can never bother the Lord enough. And we should be like these little children. We should have childlike faith, like they did. And we should be willing to approach the Lord at any time with anything, all our joys and all our sorrows. Just come to the Lord. And they did that. And the disciples said, you know, don't trouble him. Another gospel that gives this account actually says, after the Lord said, "No, let the children come to me, for such is the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God." Why is that? Why did he say that? Because in order to enter into the kingdom of heaven, we have to humble ourselves like a little child, and we have to trust in the Lord Jesus like a little child's trust in an older person. Well, that's what we need to do. And in order to be great in the kingdom of God, we have to be like that. Who's the greatest in the kingdom of God? Like one of these little children. Oh, you mean it's not one of the great prophets of old? It's not? No. This one who has childlike faith and trusts me and is dependent upon me. That's greatness. Well, in the other Gospels, verse 15, it goes in a little more detail. It says that he actually picked them up in his arms. You know, he really wanted to show that he wanted them to be around him. And I believe this is an example of his kindness. Now, kindness is the act. It is the actual act. And we're going to learn later that one could display kindness in a non-gentle way. But the Lord always displayed kindness in a gentle way. And here he does this by lifting them up. It says he touched them. He placed his hands on him. The Lord loved to touch people. He touched the leper. He would touch the disciples when they were afraid on the Mount of Transfiguration. He touched them. He touched the little girl of Jairus when he raised her from the dead. He touches people, and he touches you and me. This is his kindness. And so these little children were given the green light, and we are as well. The green light to come to the Lord any time of the day, any circumstance we face, and he will receive us. "Come unto me," he says, "and you will find rest for your souls." I'd like to look at another example a little earlier in this same gospel. In Matthew 15, there was a dear woman. And chapter 15, verse 21, we'll read. That's page 1516 in the Chapel Bible. "Then Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon." Now this is a more of a Gentile area. "And behold, a woman of Canaan," so we know for sure she's a Gentile, "came from that region and cried out to him, saying, 'Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed.' But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, 'Send her away, for she cries out after us.' But he answered and said, 'I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel.' Then she came and worshipped him, saying, 'Lord, help me.'" But he answered and said, "It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs." And she said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered and said to her, "O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire." And her daughter was healed from that very hour. Now, at first glance, we would say, is this really an example of kindness? It seems as though the Lord is hesitating. He's not responding quite right away. Well, there's a reason for that. He was approached by a Gentile woman who wanted to approach him as if she was one of the children of Israel. She calls him, notice this, in verse 22, "O Lord, son of David." Well, it wasn't her place to say that, you know. It's like a boy from another family walking up into you and saying, "Daddy, give me some candy." You don't call me daddy. I'm not your daddy. It's not appropriate. Same here. So she calls him son of David. The Lord could not allow that. And in his kindness, he will not allow that a manner of approach. You don't take the position of one of the chosen people so that you can manipulate me to get what you want. You have to take the position that you have been what you are, and then you will have the blessing. You have to acknowledge what you are and who I am in relation to who you are. And these disciples, she couldn't get anywhere with the Lord, so she's running over to the disciples. No doubt, word had spread that they also displayed power in a mighty way. And they wanted to get rid of her, you know, send her away. And the Lord points this out, you know, we have in the first chapter of Romans that we're enjoying on our Wednesday nights, to the Jew first, and then also to the Gentile. To the Jew first, and also to the Greek, right? The Lord Jesus first came to his own. John chapter 1, verse 12. "But his own received him not. But to as many as received him, to them gave he the right or the power to be called the sons of God, the children of God." So she begins to hear the rebuke. And the Lord is pointing out to her, "I came first to the sheep of the house of Israel." And she just simply says, "Lord, help me." And this is a good point for her to reach. And now she will feel and experience the kindness of the Lord Jesus, because it all opens up to her. The Lord further explains, "It's not right for me to bring you to the table of blessing that was really for this one nation." But then she humbles herself, you see that? And she says, "But even the dogs, the little dogs, eat from the crumbs of the table." She was willing to take that low place, and as a result, the kindness of the Lord is now given to her. "What you have asked, not for yourself, but for your demon-possessed daughter, has been granted to you." And she came home and found out that her daughter was delivered from this satanic control over her life, and that demon was gone. What kindness the Lord showed to this woman. Kindness is deeds. It's actions. And one last example. We'll have to look at it very briefly. In Luke 22, verse 51. This was a momentary thing, right? The Lord is being arrested. The mob has come for him at the middle of the night. His disciples are afraid, and he wants them to be spared. And we read in Luke 22, verse 51. But Jesus answered and said, "Permit even this." And he touched his ear and healed him. What had happened here? Peter, in his rambunctious, anxious way, pulled out a sword to defend his Lord. And that is not the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God, if it were so, the Lord would have had an army with him. He has no army with him. He has an army of faithful followers that submit their lives to him and live as he did. But he does not have an army with swords and arrows and tanks and guns. That's in a future day. But for now, it's this way. And what did Peter do? He struck the high priest's servant's ear off. Imagine, that man's ear was mutilated. And what does the Lord do in kindness? He picks that ear up, that right ear, by the way. Luke the physician notes it's the right ear. He always notes those little things. And the Gospel of Luke mentions that, the right ear. And the Lord picks that right ear up and puts it right back on this man's head and is instantaneously healed. He didn't have to do that. It was just another display of his divine power, but also his loving kindness. He restored that which he did not take away. And he corrected Peter. So here's just a few examples. I said there's so many. But what has the Lord called us to do? He's called us to be like this. Now, we're not going to show kindness through divine power like that, like the Lord did. But it's really how we relate to others, how we approach them, how we think of them, right? Kindness is displayed in a calm manner, but also in a truthful way. And so it's not done with a motive of maybe gaining approval from someone or trying to be something we're not. He's such a nice guy, you know, he's so kind. We're not looking for to build up our own reputation. We're trying to reflect this unique attribute of the Lord Jesus. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24 reads, "And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance so that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will." You see, we can be kind to those that oppose the gospel. It's a rather awkward situation, isn't it, if you have the courage to share something of your faith to someone else, and they immediately attack you. And they want to argue, you know. They bring up questions that they probably have in their basket of skeptic basket. They suddenly pull out now. Okay, here's a Christian. I'll give them this one. I'll give them that one. See what they say. So that they back off and they don't give me the truth of the gospel. But what are we to do? In our kindness, displaying the Lord's character, we're not there to argue. You know, that doesn't really accomplish much. We can reason with people, but to argue with them will not accomplish much. But in kindness, we just point out the truth. We point out the truth. And you know, the Spirit of God will use that to turn that person's heart. Maybe not right that moment when they hear you. But if the Lord's working in their life, they're gonna be annoyed with what you just said. Especially the fact that you didn't do it in a burst of anger. And you were very calm and in a humble way. And you're able to teach. You know the Word of God. And you also know the wiles of the devil and how he blinds their hearts and minds. You see, they're spiritually dead. They're on the way to hell. They have nothing within them to respond to the truth yet. It's the Spirit of God that will arouse that, will stir them up to realize, wait a minute, I am a sinner, I need a Savior, and there's only one, the Lord Jesus. So we have to speak the truth in kindness to them. And then there's one other passage I'd like to suggest. In Titus chapter 3, that's page 1829, verse 1. "Remind them to be subject to rules and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men. For we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward men appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by His grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life." When we realize the kindness that was displayed towards us, we can do the same towards others. And we know that there's kindness displayed towards those that don't know the Lord yet, but also towards one another. There's so many ways to display kindness. I'm just using some verses here that came to my attention. But you can think of things that you can do to display the kindness of the Lord to others. In Matthew chapter 6, the Lord reminded his disciples, look, don't just greet people that will greet you in return. Don't just be kind to people that will be kind to you in return. Those that despitefully use you, pray for them. And do good to those that hate you. And by doing so, you will heap coals of fire on their head. What a strange verse. Proverbs 25, verse 21. What does that mean? It means that your kindness, your good deeds that are not the normal reaction to opposition will create a feeling of shame on their part. That, you know, they're not right, and they will repent of it. My understanding of that verse, by the way, is that it was a display of humility to put a bowl over your head and have coals on it. And the burning sensation was a way of doing penance. And by heaping coals on it, you're creating the environment where they would repent. But even if that's not the understanding of some, it's interesting how the Lord would use that verse in that setting. And kindness does that. You know, it disarms people that are in opposition. But it also is a feature that we should do, not because of opposition, but it's the right thing to do, right? We show kindness with one another. We show it by our way of talking to each other. We show it by good deeds we do for each other. When people are sorrowing, we sorrow with them. Someone loses a loved one, we go to the funeral. We send a sympathy card, perhaps. We send a memorial gift. We give flowers. We show kindness in many ways. We show kindness to those that are less fortunate. We might give to organizations that help the poor. These things are all displays of kindness. And the Lord would have us be that display, like he displayed, that we be kind to one another and all those around us, especially the household of faith. May the Lord help us. Let's close in a word of prayer. Our loving God and Father, we admit that we often fail in these areas of the fruit of the Spirit and how they would show forth the Lord Jesus in our life. We pray that we would be willing to look at our lives and recognize the things we fall short in and submit to your will as it is declared in your word, that we would be kind like your son was, that we would show tenderness to those less fortunate, that we would be approachable as little children would approach thy son when he was here, and we would be willing to have childlike faith, that we would be kind to those that we're around, the household of faith. Show kindnesses to one another. So we ask that they'll help us in these matters. We commit it to thee. We pray for the remainder of this day and ask thy blessing upon it as we pray all in the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.